Now, hands up, who has been to a Chris Single service before? Oh, good. Excellent. A good number. So I'm expecting great things from you. So, here is one of the Chris Singles that, a team of people kindly made earlier. So, I wonder who can tell me what the orange stands for in the Chris Single? The world. Very good. There it is. Globe like the world which God made, the world which belongs to God, the world which God loves. And I normally have a sneaky sweet while you watch in this service, so there's some perks.
Different. Sorry to speak with my mouth full.
So, what do the four cocktail sticks and the sweets represent? Opportunity for great creativity, yeah?
Got four cocktail sticks.
Not conventionally. I am always looking for new spins on the Chris Single, so maybe one year. There are four last things of Advent as well, a bit scary, so we could do those one year maybe. Jonathan Austin thinks he knows. Okay, again, this is all very creative and interesting. Judith, yes, put us out of our misery. Maybe the four corners of the world, yes, the four points of the compass. We might think of God's goodness to the whole world. Wouldn't we? Those sweets, I think, are meant to represent God's good gifts, his kindness, the things that he's given us to enjoy. So one possibility is the four corners of the world, or the four points of the compass, or maybe also four seasons, maybe. Yes, God's faithfulness throughout the year. Spring, summer, autumn, winter, the four seasons. Brilliant. And then we've got some red, do you call it electrical tape? Maybe it might be a ribbon or something traditionally. What do we think is going on there? The blood of Jesus, yes. Maybe God's love for the world, embracing the whole world, shown for us supremely in the blood of Jesus who came to die for us, that our sins might be forgiven, that we might know friendship with God again. So, and then last of all, the candle. Yes, Jesus, the light of the world. You are very good at this indeed. Excellent. So we're going to have our first reading now, and we'll see some of those themes reflected in our reading. What God has given to the world, God's love for the world, light and darkness, the Lord Jesus, and so on. And David's going to read this for us.
John chapter 1, starting at verse 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through him all things were made. Without him, nothing was made that has been made. In him was life, and that life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, but the darkness has not understood it. There came a man who was sent from God. His name was John. He came as a witness to testify concerning that light, so that through him all men might believe. He himself was not the light. He came only as a witness to the light. The true light that gives light to every man was coming into the world. He was in the world, and though the world was made through him, the world did not recognize him. He came to that which was his own, but his own did not receive him. Yet to all who received him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. Children born not of natural descent, nor of human decision, or a husband's will, but born of God. The Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only, who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. This is the word of the Lord.
Thank you, God, and thank you to you, David. Well, Christmas, very exciting time, isn't it? Lots to do, can be very busy. And lots of things that we've added on to Christmas, aren't there? Maybe you've been busy learning your lines for the nativity play. Perhaps you've got lots and lots of parties in. You've got lots of presents to buy. I've got a particularly tricky secret Santa I'm quite anxious about. You know, what can I get for £10 that will be both wanted and amusing? Maybe you've been planning that Christmas lunch for a long time. The freezer's already stocked up with everything. So it can be busy. It can be distracting. I wonder, what if we stripped back Christmas and thought about what's really at the heart of it? What would you say? What is the real core, the heart of Christmas? Maybe we might go a bit deeper into what Christmas means. We might try and peel back the layers. Talk amongst yourselves. This may take me some time. I wonder what you think the real heart of it is. Oh, I'm going to make a mess of this. Should have got an easy peeler, maybe. Yeah. That's right. Classic Christmas gift, isn't it? A clementine. Clementine or coal. Okay. Sorry? You can't eat coal. No, that's right. Good. Health and safety first. Dude, that's excellent. Thank you. Good reminder to us all. Good. Oh, what a mess. Good. Can take some effort to get to the real heart and meaning of Christmas. So, there's lots of bits to an orange, I suppose, but we've probably got two essential bits we might think about. What do we call this bit here?
Peel.
Yes, the peel or the skin. Yes, okay, so we've got the skin. And then we got this bit of the orangey. The flesh, well done, you've played along very well for this. Skin and flesh, thank you. And at the heart of a Christmas story, actually, is Jesus come in skin and flesh. You may have noticed that in our Bible reading. The Word, that's the word it uses in that passage for Jesus, the eternal Son of God, because Jesus is like God speaking to us, God's self-expression. Jesus, the Word, the eternal Son of God, became flesh and made his dwelling amongst us. So Jesus was fully God, but he was also truly a human being. He came in skin and flesh and bones like you and me. So although this is to confuse the Christingle, this is not the classic. If you ever see a Christmas quiz on the Christingle, do not write about it is skin and flesh. But perhaps that orange might be a reminder to us of what is that the real meaning of Christmas, the heart of it, that Jesus comes in skin and flesh, true God and true human being. And we're going to have another reading now from the New Testament, from the letter to the Hebrews, where the writer speaks a bit more about why it was that Jesus was pleased to come and share our flesh, to be God who was made truly human like you and me. Thank you so much, Annabelle.
Hebrews chapter 2, starting at verse 9. But we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels, now crowned with glory and honour because he suffered death, so that by the grace of God he might taste death for everyone. In bringing many sons to glory, it was fitting that God, for whom and through whom everything exists, should make the author of their salvation perfect through suffering. Both the one who makes men holy and those who are made holy are of the same family. So Jesus is not ashamed to call them brothers. He says, I will declare your name to my brothers. In the presence of the congregation, I will sing your praises. And again, I will put my trust in him. And again he says, here am I and the children God has given me. Since the children have flesh and blood, he too shares in their humanity, so that by his death he might destroy him who holds the power of death, that is, the devil, and free those who all their lives were held in slavery by their fear of death. For surely it is not angels he helps, but Abraham's descendants. For this reason he had to be made like his brothers in every way, in order that he might become a merciful and faithful high priest in service to God, and that he might make atonement for the sins of the people. Because he himself suffered when he was tempted, he is able to help those who are being tempted. This is the word of the Lord.
Thank you to you, Annabelle. It's an amazing thought, isn't it, that God himself came and joined our human family. He became our brother that we might become children of God. Lived a true and full human life. He knew what it was like to get hungry or to be tired or to be tempted. So he's able to sympathise with us in all the difficulties and trials which we face in our human lives. But above all, he took on flesh so that he might die for us, so that he might pay the price for our sins. Turns out that red ribbon around the world is actually at the heart of the meaning of Christmas, because there's a very real sense in which Jesus was born to die. He came that as a human being, he might pay the price for human sins so that our friendship with God might be restored. Well, let's say a prayer about that. Father God, we thank you for all the fun of Christmas, for all the excitement and the treats that it will involve. Pray that you would help us to pause and think about its real meaning, to perhaps dig a little deeper into what is at the heart of it all. We thank you for Jesus, who took on skin and flesh and blood for us, who lived as true God and true man, that he might help us, and above all, that he might die for all the wrong things we've done, that we might be put right with you. Help us, we pray, to meet afresh with Jesus this Christmas, and to put our trust in him. Amen.